Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and sisters, we are back again. Back, thank the Most High, back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemyah. I'm your host tonight, Edemyah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful for the opportunity to be back with you here again. We're in a little bit later tonight. But I thank the Most High for your patience, and I thank the Most High indeed for making all things according to his good pleasure worth the wait. Because as always, I thank the Most High that he has told me that for him I have some very important things to do. He said, because of what I must do, he said, I have to cruise some very powerful friends as well as enemies. I think tonight's show is going to be another one of those. Oh, yes, but it's all to the blessing. He said to me that because of what I must do, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies, but he said that in doing for him that which he's asked of me, I would have his protection and guidance. Yes, indeed. For he told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he said, I must tell you things that men have done everything they could from the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and to destroy. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has had a plan. I repeat, has had a plan for the salvation of this world. A plan by which men might function together as true unto him. A plan, my brothers and sisters, by which his people might walk in harmony, in peace, one common understanding. Being guided by the will of the Most High Yah, that in no wise would they be compelled to walk after error. The Most High has always had a plan. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has always had a plan by which his intent, was that his people, notice what I said, my brothers and sisters, were functioning in his gift of grace, functioning in his gift of wisdom and understanding, functioning in his guidance as his gift, that they truly discern, my brothers and sisters, what it is to petition him. I said to petition him and receive an answer. To petition the Most High, my brothers and sisters, for what indeed is salvation. I can only tell you that we have lived for a very long time. Humanity has lived for a very long time under a system, a competitive one. Many function according to their own self-righteousness to such a dimension that if the Most High were to oblige the request of many who claim to be true to him, the end result is that nothing would be accomplished. Did you hear me? If the Most High were to abide by all the multitude of different standards that men have devised and conceived to exalt since the fall, and I said, falling away from the will of one, falling away from being guided after the will of one, unto being, in so many ways, misled, flattered even to be content with functioning under the misguidance of many. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I just have to ask, is that really what men believe? The Most High has intended that man would turn away from him, fall away from his guidance, fall into a multitude of partial standards, not knowing how to return to the will of the one. Not being guided after the will of one, but everybody contentious after their own ideals. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 48th chapter, Most High speaks of a people who have sworn by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. Do men really believe the Most High ever intended that men would call upon his name according to guidance after anyone or any system of this world that would not seek to awaken the minds to all things the Most High has required, keeping minds blind to all things or to any part of that magnificent plan that includes all things the Most High has foreordained? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If we are all subject to bits and pieces and parts, to exalt partialities as if they were the whole, to exalt a multitude of pieces and parts as if they were the whole, as if all these partialities were sufficient unto the Most High, the end result, my brothers and sisters, could only be contentiousness. It could only be vanity. It could be a lot of abuse, my brothers and sisters, rather than cooperation. The plan of the Most High, the purpose of the Most High, was always that men be able to function cooperatively together. Has that been what men have requested in this world today? Has that been what men have envisioned? Has that been what men conceived of as divine promise in a world such as the one in which we live? And in so many cases, many have become satisfied. Yes, my brothers and sisters, I said satisfied with everybody walking according to his own self-righteous designs, forgetting that the earth belongs to Yah. All things in it, the world and even they that dwell therein. Think about it. If everybody is led to abuse the resources of the earth after their own devices, do we have respect then for the plan of the Most High? Is there then at that point respect for the earth as belonging to him? You have to stop to consider for the earth to function truly to the will of the Creator. All have to be guided by him. But I have to ask a question, my brothers and sisters. You ever stop to consider that in a world filled with debate and doubt, that very few seem to really understand that in the perfect inspiration and guidance of the Most High, there's transcension beyond debate. There's transcension beyond doubt. There is no divisive multitude of allegiances in the holy name. There is no multitude of divisive allegiances in the oath unto his name. What does the scripture say the covenant is? It says that men, if you hope you understand what I mean, will no longer confuse one another, everyone after the various devices of the nations. But rather, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says they all shall, he said they all shall know me. They shall all know the will of the Most High, from the least to the greatest of them. He said he would write his laws upon the minds and the hearts, no longer debate as to what is acceptable. No longer any doubt, because all would be instructed of him, to hear from him and to know what is his will. Much I want to say about that. But I want, for right now, I want to hit on what I said was the first topic to be considered in tonight's show. And I want to run through these concepts very quickly and come back to what I just said and tie it up to show how all these things work together and relate together for one ultimate good. If we are only willing to open our minds to see what the Most High calls our kingdom to His glory. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. What does it mean to petition the Most High? True to His anointing. True to His anointed one. What does it mean to petition the Most High for salvation, my brothers and sisters? In Him who comes to expose, I hope you hear me, polytheist Babylon. Shall men confess allegiance to those who preserve divide and conquer devices, indiscretion? Allegiances, my brothers and sisters, to those who maintain indecision. Is that what we call an awakening and petition to the Most High for salvation? Shall men even petition, or even think that they petition the Most High for salvation, if they are willing to petition Him that everybody walk according to their own ideals? Think about it. Many, when they petition for salvation, you ever stop to consider that many say, somewhere in the back of their mind, they know they need the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do they think that Holy Spirit is for? People not to be guided by it? They think that men petition the Most High for His Holy Spirit not to accept and walk by a pure and perfect testimony? Think about it. 30,000 denominations call themselves believers. Most of them believing, the majority of them believing, that the Most High gives, grants His Holy Spirit to those who seek Him. Why would you need His Spirit, my brothers and sisters, if it's intended every man walk according to fleshly carnal ideals and conscience? Scripture says, in the name of the Most High, swearing allegiance to His name. We must all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. Same understanding. But I look around me, my brothers and sisters, today, and see so many claiming to be functioning after the anointing, with all manner of differences of opinion. We talked about that many times. You ever stop to consider Isaiah 44, going into 45, and it talks about the Messiah come to make the wisdom of those called wise prove it foolish, that the Most High will perform the counsel of those who He has called with His testimony to serve Him, to establish a greater kingdom. I want you to consider for a moment. I'm going to play something back here that was said. See if I can pull this up. It should appear. Let me see if I can pull this up. Let me see if I can make this work. I think I have this available, and if not, there it is. Something that was said, amazingly enough, about 10 years ago now, January 31st. Well, it was the 6th State of the Union Address by one whose presidency and voice you should somewhat recognize. Let me see if I can play this for you.
We have served America through one of the most consequential periods of our history, and it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate.
Some of you might recognize that voice. It was the voice of one who was called, who had office as the last president, George W. Bush Jr. Did you notice what he said? He said that in a system, a two-party system, he said there will always be debates. Is that what we petition for, my brothers and sisters, when we ask for salvation? Amazingly enough, January 31st was the day we saw the passing of Miss Coretta Scott King. Yesterday, a few days back, we had an inaugural address. Let me see if I can play a little bit of that for you. Let's see if I can make this work. I believe I have this available. Here it is.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Well done.
I think you recognize the voice. Amazingly enough, this inaugural address was also on what was considered Martin Luther King Day. Bit of amazing connection there. Some things need to be addressed now, my brothers and sisters. Have we, you know, willingness to accept such phraseologies that we just heard? Have we been true to what is divine promise? What I want to talk about what is salvation. What it is petition. It is to petition the Most High for his salvation. In so many ways, how many of us are willing to consider the fact that if we accept, are willing to accept a system that gives license to a multitude of contradictions, debates, and doubts, then all we've really done is given sanction to a multitude of sins, oftentimes become blind to our lack of discretion, our lack in so many ways of guidance for being twisted and torn to the right and to the left, as if the Most High had nothing to say himself. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, is a people divided, who claim to be one. Everyone functions according to what the system offers them. Easily bribed against what is perfect cooperation. Is that really what's intended, my brothers and sisters, when we ask for salvation? When we ask for that precious prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we really think that the kingdom of the Most High functions outside of perfect cooperation in all things with the will of the Most High? Think about Isaiah 45. Let me run through these swiftly. The peoples. It says the peoples, the mighty men, the rulers, who will come to entreat the righteous one, the Curtee, for mercy. You ever stop to consider the scripture says in so many ways that they will not gain this favor after any present national or international design, or else they would not have to come to him to petition for mercy. They would not have to come to him seeking that they might have some level of favor from the Most High. And think about it. Shall men swear allegiance to those who have made no vow to be true to the Most High in all things and expect to still be counted stable and not double-minded, steadfast, and not in so many ways grossly distracted? And think about it. In a world where everybody knows indeed what is the will of Yah, how is it the men would still be led to debate as to what is truth and what is the proper course? Think about it. Isaiah 45 relates that even here shall mighty men come, and all those who insist against him shall be ashamed. Rulers of nations shall come and make supplication before Messiah, saying, surely Yah is in thee, and there's no other. How about no other rule, no other sense of righteousness, but that which Yah has revealed and intends to reveal through him? Scripture says Messiah would come and will be revealed, my brothers and sisters. It's true to what was said in Isaiah 28. He said, all power from on high has been given unto him. It means the jurisdiction, authority. How about even, my brothers and sisters, the precepts of life where a man might be reconciled unto Yah? Is it possible to find that reconciliation according to a standard that is not in all things true to divine purpose and will? Is it possible to find that reconciliation, my brothers and sisters, according to a multitude of pollutions? Think about it. If a holy word is tainted, it is no longer the guidance or the pure will of the Most High Yah. How did Satan get men to worship him in the first place? But that in attaining of the holy word, unto debate and doubt, men were not willing to entirely hear Yah as he is. And men, blinded to the perfect will of Yah, continue to worship something deviant, not the will of Yah. You ever stop to consider the reason why? The scripture says those who walk after the flesh cannot appease Yah in Romans 8th chapter. So the Spirit is given that the righteous requirement of the Most High might be fulfilled in us, that it might be brought fully to bear in us. Did it say that man walking after another spirit, another testimony, another ideal, could still be reconciled unto Yah? Absolutely not. Why do you think the scripture says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach? For the remission of sins. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You ever stop to consider that's being purged of all the systems of this world that cause so much debate and doubt? Think about it. If the kings of the earth could find reconciliation with the Most High according to their own ideals, why the scripture says, why the scripture say, by the Spirit, with the breath of his lips, the Spirit of his mouth, shall they slay, expose every lawless standard? How do you get debate and doubt, my brothers and sisters, but somebody's functioning according to something that is not true to the Most High? Like I said, there's a reason why ancient man, you find the most ancient languages lacking a word for maybe. They knew that they walked according to certain principles, that certain end results should be the result of it. Think about it. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The scripture says the kings, because the people have awakened to a sense of righteousness greater than the rulers, he says, unto him shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because when all function after the will of one and true to the will of the one that is true to the Most High, then we have peace. Without that, my brothers and sisters, men having no concept of what is the pure, perfect will of Yah, men accept to all manner of debate, selfish ambition, doubt. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it makes an open door for all manner of error. Think about it. They who discern only after the flesh, my brothers and sisters, have no power even to swear truthfully. Did you hear me? They who discern only after the flesh have no power to swear truthfully unto the faith, even if they call upon the holy name. Can they call upon his name unto the fullness of divine righteousness? They might realize they need to grow unto something. But guess what? When they first make that oath, they have little idea of that unto which they are swearing. And very likely, because they haven't seen a greater vision, it's very easy to fall away. Remember, the scripture says, all who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered. But it said in Jerusalem should be delivered to the remnant whom the Most High has called. What does it mean to be called to the vision of discerning what is Jerusalem as a city of peace is to be? Shouldn't it be the Most High, my brothers and sisters, who defines for us what is peace? Do we really believe that we should define peace with the Most High in a holy kingdom according to a multitude of worldly debates? Think about it. Scripture says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. Did you hear me? It says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. That means you don't make any misrepresentation of him and expect it to be anything other than a stumbling block. Consider Isaiah 57. Scripture talks about his own people scattered among the nations under a multitude of diverse allegiances. The scripture says, against whom are you mocking? Do you mock and draw out the tongue? Aramaic says they mock the Holy One of Israel. Why, my brothers and sisters? Because men have not no longer even discerned that a multitude of diverse rulers is stagnation, is bondage, is a multitude of obstacles against discerning what is the pure will of one. Daniel 2:44, my brothers and sisters, talks about establishing a kingdom established in holiness. Did you hear me? A kingdom established in holiness. Then we're breaking pieces all of the kingdoms. In other words, people realize that this is the will of the Most High, that they are finally awakened to wisdom, to realize they should walk in nothing less. The Most High told me straight out, the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not taking all things into consideration, has not been wisdom at all. Therefore, it has been trouble. He told me that man, being subject to any conscience less than the Most High himself, is trial, is tribulation. It's not the pure will of Yah. It's not his salvation, my brothers and sisters, because the salvation of a world rests in the world coming to a level of discretion. A level of discretion wherein all things work cooperatively together. True to the will of one, according to all that he intended from the beginning, and not after any later fallen sense of rule. A vow, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, a vow, an oath unto them sworn to maintain corruptions and differences of opinion, can only reap a damning destruction. There's a lot I can say about this in Galatians. But if you read Galatians 6 and 7, read all the way out through the rest of the chapter concerning what it calls mocking the Most High. Read it closely, my brothers and sisters. It's really a warning against anyone who would be pretentious with regard to righteousness. When it says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. In other words, there's no substitute for what indeed is righteousness. Man after the flesh can be easy to beguile, to walk after men who think after fleshly manner. Read closely, my brothers and sisters, Galatians 6 chapter. A lot to say I can say about that. If I'm granted an opportunity tonight, and time allows it, I'll go back through it. But many have read those scriptures and not understood that there's no salvation when man walks after what merely seems wise. After personal perspective, rather than what the Most High would reveal, to discern what is his vision. We understand, we've talked about this in recent nights. 1 Yohanan 2:27-3:11. It says, he who does righteousness is righteous. Is it righteousness, my brothers and sisters? Is it walking purely after the will of the Most High that we live in a world so filled with so much debate? People even feeling that they have gained victory because they uphold or have appealed or felt like they voted in the office someone. Compliant with their own personal desire. And they collectively themselves have been willing in so many ways to compromise. The will of the Most High, unwittingly. Or sometimes, my brothers and sisters, just simply to uphold what seems to personal advantage. Hmm. the recent inaugural, per se, address, oath of office, did you notice that, I find these things, parallels, kind of amazing. Swearing hand upon a Bible. Think about it. Swearing hand upon a Bible. In fact, not just one. A pair of Bibles. One amazingly belonging to, they say it was a Bible that belonged to Abraham Lincoln, who claimed to free the slaves, unified the country in freeing the slaves, or freeing many of our ancestors who were in bondage to apparent chattel servitude. The other Bible was one that apparently had belonged to the late Martin Luther King Jr. Everything seemingly to cast a perception of a great awakening and a great liberation for our people. But I have to ask a question, my brothers and sisters. Is this true to what is ancient vision? Is this perception they call an American dream? Is it true to the aspirations and dreams of our ancient forefathers? Think about it. The scripture says Messiah will come, the anointed will come, whereby men will finally discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve Him not. Seems to me this society we live in today is most indiscriminate. We have a president who said that he would not let an obscure verse in Romans sway his opinion with regard to the questions, with regard to, at least say, social questions in this society, with regard to homosexuality. What's in the Bible, my brothers and sisters, they swore upon? Isn't there an unusual oxymoron involved here? When someone swears his hand upon a Bible to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which in so many ways is not true to the book, but rather popular opinion. And a society distracted, like I said, who know many in this country alone how many thousands of denominations? Men all claiming because they have a vote to be discerning and representative, if they call themselves believers, of the will of the Most High, or some sense of righteousness that appeals to their hearts. And nevertheless, in this society, if you just simply have enough people to go along with an idea, even if they don't all perfectly agree themselves, but they seem to have enough power to sway votes, it's enough to sway the leader. My brothers and sisters, you ever stop to consider the Most High and will not be destabilized by the misconceits or imaginings of man? Scripture says Messiah would judge. In fact, He would work to reconcile the world. Not according to some spaghetti noodle rule, my brothers and sisters, but with a rod of iron. Whereby whatever will not abide and what must be before the Most High just will be broken like the breaking of a potter's vessel. And righteously in this case so, because it's the will of Him who made heaven and earth. Or is that beyond the imaginings or beyond the perspective of a society like the one in which we live today? Realize this quickly, my brothers and sisters. No one attains the steadfast and divine conscience after the mindless inconsistencies and inconscience and irreverences of personal opinion as it seems wise according to the flesh. That's the reason why when people say they ask for salvation, they ask to be guided by Yah. Hey, I hear people oftentimes says, you know, hey, God bless America. You ever stop to consider the only way America can be blessed is that it comes perfectly and purely unto the will of one? What happened to the two-party system in such an instance as that? Think about it. What the Most High calls a blessed dominion, as I said last night, is one, as he said, would be true for the remnant of faithful Israel. He said it's a people who what? Would do no iniquity. In other words, they will entertain no contradictions. Do no iniquity. Speak no lies. You mean to tell me in a two-party system where there's constant debate, there's no lies in the midst? Contradiction, my brothers and sisters, is a lie. What about the idea that according to what is true to an everlasting covenant and purpose under the Most High and stewardship, faithful stewardship under him, we are ultimately commanded that if we look around and we see contentiousnesses among us, we are to petition the Most High. I didn't say after the God that men create, but you can petition the Most High knowing that he has the exceeding wisdom and the earth belongs to him, to petition the Most High that we all be brought to wisdom, that we reason together. And the Most High looks upon this world functioning cooperatively with a constancy under the will of one. But my brothers and sisters, this society has made so many different concepts of deity for itself. Men don't know how to do that anymore either. Do people believe that the Catholics saying what they will and the Baptists saying what they will? Because one petitioned the Baptist God, another one petitioned the Catholic God, another one petitioned the Methodist God, another one petitioned the Presbyterian or Episcopalian God, and they all petitioned their various gods. To find out what is the perfect will of one within the constraints of man-made institutionality? My brothers and sisters, I hope you understand, you're beginning to discern what I'm telling you. It's impossible to talk about a people swearing allegiance to systems and rulers who themselves are compromised and expect to find salvation or what is perfect true under Yah, under such mindlessness. Notice I said mindlessness. It's an illusion, my brothers and sisters. It's a pretense of wisdom, because men have come to accept a fallen state of conscience. Realize that no man, brothers and sisters, is made whole. What salvation means made whole, whole unto the will of one Most High. No man is made whole, no man is raised complete unto what is divine conscience, to be sanctified and perfectly made in harmony, agreed with all the saints. And I say the saints, I mean the holy ones, I mean all those are true to the will of the Most High. They translate the concept as saints. Well, how about all the heavenly hosts and all that are true to the vow and to the will of the one Most High? Most High included in all those that are true to him, to the height, depth, and breadth, according to there being just one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Two-party system, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, two-party system that sanctions thousands of denominations, a multitude of states, diverse federal, state, and county and city law? Is that, my brothers and sisters, what is to be called true to the will of one? When the very first command of the Most High is, Hear, O Israel, Lord our Lord is one, which means all must have one conscience by which all are guided? Has man become so depraved in his sense of discretion that he hasn't understood that man making a multitude of gods for himself is idolatry, is sin, is transgression unawares. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it is to the man, let's just say it's man, setting so many diverse concepts of deity for himself that he doesn't know how to follow divine inspiration anymore, unless it's so he'd be so easily buffeted by the will of a society that has actually come to a point that it hasn't even desired the hope for an absolute. And yet men under these systems, sworn allegiance to such systems, say that they've been true to the promise of Yah, desired the promise of Yah. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that most haven't even begun to discern what is the promise of the Most High Yah? Haven't even begun to discern what the Most High promised Abraham, saying that all nations would be blessed by faith. All nations would be blessed by trust in the will of Yah and the restored knowledge of what is that will. What do you think made a system Babylon but that men lacked inspiration, lacked divine guidance? You mean to tell me you had a multi-party system and all are being led by divine will, the will of one? Think about it and ask yourself a question about what kind of system we really truly under in this world, and all its pluralities and contradictions. I said the Most High declared that we should have no other God, no other standards but Him. Therefore, surely the Most High has had a plan then by which men should know and testify in exactitude as to how indeed He shall reconcile His people. Isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters, that I could write so much on my website concerning what the Most High said men should look for, and so few have known? I quoted last night a lot of scripture in Isaiah 41 that says in advance that that would be the case. So it be said that subject to rulers who have denied me the knowledge of the truth, that men have been free. If they never told you anything else but to expect no more than the indecision that is common to men, have they opened your mind? Have they opened your heart? Have they opened your understanding? Have they opened your sense of vision, my brothers and sisters, to even think to expect something more? Like I said, we live in a society that is a result of a massive fall away from the will of one unto the will of a diverse, contradictive many. Is that, my brothers and sisters, what we come to accept as viable? Has man come to simply accept his inability for accepting so many distractions? Has man come to accept the idea that he lives in a system where he is easily buffeted away from discretion? Think about it. What do you think is meant by the scripture where Messiah said, even to His disciples, beware, because the adversary comes to deceive, if possible, even the very elect? How about to mislead, distract, shift this point of focus, if possible, even the very elect? In other words, those who are called to understanding, called to perceive what is the pinnacle of divine purpose. He said, beware, lest someone, distract you then? What about a system, then, my brothers and sisters, that is so unwise that it opens the door to every manner of distraction and doesn't really truly understand at that point in time what before the Most High is ultimately illegal? I mean, think about it. It's one thing to know what is said, another to know why it's said. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. We live in a society that is completely idolatrous in thousands of ways that most haven't imagined. I don't see why this society has been true to even a single command of the Most High in any way Because in every way, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is being that is being denied. And the people blinded not to know what is the truth. You ever stop to consider if you hide or twist men's concept of the word, it is murder, it is robbery, it is a lie, it is adultery, it is idolatry. My brothers and sisters, people do all these things in a lack of trust and all manner of fleshly covetousness. How has man kept the commands of the Most High? Like I said, Babylon would deprave men's conscience to think so. But like I said, my brothers and sisters, to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point and oftentimes come satisfied with a level of discretion or a level of consciousness that the Most High does not call even human, because it's not the purpose for which he made man. But of course, we live in a society that, what scriptures say, many have been compelled to worship under the mark of the beast. That means they've been compelled, my brothers and sisters, to worship and uphold a pattern of thought that before the Most High is beastly and not true to what purpose for which he made man. I would have you to think about that, my brothers and sisters. Did he say that man functioned as a beast, was worthy to be preserved or saved? Or did he say, my brothers and sisters, that man must grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Most High? Which? The Most High said that everyone who distracts his brother in a lack of understanding, a lack of discretion, leaving people distracted and unable to know easily or discern quickly what is the way of one. What does the scripture talk about in Isaiah 30? It says, because men have, he knows, the Most High knows that men have eaten, as he said, the bread of affliction, misguided, had doctrines, my brothers and sisters, that have been corrupted and tainted after the spoilage of this world. But he said he's a God of justice, that he might choose to be gracious unto you, show favor unto his people. And he says, your eyes shall behold your teacher. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters, but that the Most High intends by his grace to bring man beyond massive indiscretion? His grace is a blessing, my brothers and sisters. Shall men ask for a blessing to this society and ask that it preserve every man of corruption? Like I said, be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that according to the allegiances of every diverse nation, kindred, and tongue? Or does that mean that every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue must become true to the will of one? To be baptized in the name of the Most High. To be washed, as the scripture says, in the blood of the Lamb. How about the testimony for which Messiah gave his blood? It's not that men should remain subject to a multitude of diverse allegiances. They said for remission of sins. How about being awakened beyond every misallegiance that compels men to continue in transgression, whether he realizes it or not? Think about it, my brothers and sisters, and that rulers and priests have neglected what is a pure testimony from on high, capable of reconciling man unto the Most High. What scripture says, men who love darkness more than light, and this has been to the condemnation of the world. How about that realize, my brothers and sisters, at last, that men having confused the people, rulers having confused the people to blasphemously disrespect even seekitude for what is true of the holy name, causing men to believe that Yah is a multitude of partial and polluted standards, has only left men to sit back and sanction every obstacle to his attaining the purity and steadfastness before the Most High that will be confirmed, that is worthy to be confirmed as true to his name. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters. I wrote long ago, relative to the inspiration the Most High granted me, very shortly after his anointing. His granting me his anointing. And one of the phrases in the particular like poem, song that I wrote, was this word: in rash rebuke of reason, have we prayed for this treason? You ever stop to consider not considering what the inspiration of the Most High is about? Not considering the type of cooperation that he wants in this world. Men have been taught to sanction every manner of beguilement, every manner of obstacle imaginable, and called it mutual respect. My brother and sister, I got a question. If we accept every obtuse ideal and misrule that could be cast at us, have we respected the purpose for which Yah made man when he created man to be a habitation for his spirit? A habitation of his spirit, my brothers and sisters, is true to one testimony. And that testimony, my brothers and sisters, is cooperation, all things working together for one good, according to a plan the Most High established from the beginning that never can change. Is that what the contradictions we live in are all about? I think man has forgotten what respect for Yah is. Faith to know it. What's it going to take, my brothers and sisters, for people to catch on? If neither pastors nor people will teach what from the beginning has always been the scenario that will bring about the saving transition in this world, you ever stop to consider that all then, not knowing the truth and functioning in presumptuousness for lack of knowledge, have broken what is to be the what is and always will be the everlasting covenant? I said broken it, or just simply have not upheld it. In either case, you ever stop to consider if the covenant is to be everlasting, to simply go through a lapse of remembrance is a breaking of that covenant. And if man has gotten to a point, and he has, that he's come to accept and exalt all these pluralist contradictions that can never be true to the will of one, then you need to ask yourself a question, my brothers and sisters. In fact, you need to ask the Most High this question: what will he do to reconcile a people unto his perfect will, but have to remove whatever is the obstacle? The Holy Covenant of Faith demands recovery of all that which, even for many ages, has been missing. It didn't say the Holy Covenant just accepts depravity. The Holy Covenant of Faith demands the recovery of all that which, even for many ages, has been missing in the doctrine, and a purging out of all that which for ages has defiled or misdirected men against the knowledge of the Holy Name. Think about it. People are asking to receive right to be called the sons of Yah, the children of Yah, called, you know, by his name. But have they sought what is a pure knowledge of what is divine covenant, that they might be called worthy of that name? Or have men just simply said that the Most High, or dare to want to believe the Most High defiles his name, that whatever men do might be called blessed? That is a mass deception then that men have prayed for, if that be the case. Let me tell you something. No man keeps the commandments of Yah after the faith of Yahshua, who preserves any institutionality that preserves presumptuousness, lies, or continues to hide the greater light, or that continues to deny the greater truth, or that seeks to keep the people subject to any sense of conscience less than what is divine dictate. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, the contradictions that are in this society. And when the scripture says such things as the psalmist said, in sin did my mother conceive me. My brothers and sisters, it was talking about a society filled with contradictions and pollutions. You ever stop to consider what it means when the scripture says sin entered the world? It means man became subject to and began to oblige and to sanction, even to license, a thought form that didn't come forth from the Most High. What then, my brothers and sisters, for not just a person who does such a thing, but a nation, or an international collaboration of nations that have sanction such confusion and not been willing to know if they should cry out for deliverance. Scripture says, Messiah offered vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. How about save him from corruption, my brothers and sisters, that would be the result of sin or error if he allowed himself to be seduced by worldly misconceit. Think about it. Scripture says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. No misrepresentation of him, no corruption against his will is worthy unto life. From the flesh, or walking after the indiscretion of the flesh, man reaps corruption. Only by the spirit of life, my brothers and sisters, does man gain life. We're going to talk about petitioning the Most High for salvation. Realize what Messiah knew according to Hebrews 5, that you must petition the Most High to be raised to the kind of conscience that the Most High finds worthy to preserve. Sadly enough, pastors oftentimes getting their BDS degrees from institutions that make generic degrees for every denomination. You ever stop to consider that degree isn't worth 10 cents? It's not even worth a plug, nickel, or penny for the Most High, and that it has compromised his will. Shall we not wake up, my brothers and sisters, to see beyond the illusions? So many ways, my brothers and sisters, people haven't even begun to imagine how much illusion they are taught to abide with every day because rulers have somehow said it's okay. Think about it. Pastors have not revealed or even oftentimes sought to open the minds beyond status quo, to perceive the deeper secret of things, because many only seek to corrupt levels of dimensions. Because many only seek after corrupt dimensions, blind status quo, willing to be pleased with such. They say, well, how long? If I can keep the people blind, they won't realize they're being sold. Snow as if they lived on the North Pole somewhere. Can you sell somebody sand, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of a desert? Can you sell somebody snow, my brothers and sisters, at the polar caps? Sometimes I wonder, my brothers and sisters, when everybody considers all a multitude of corruption to be truth, what seems to be truth and what seems to have value? You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is going to have to show people what the truth is, that they discerned what they had not had, that they might discern just how precious it really is when only truth will bring forth life. You ever stop to consider the true cause of those the Most High has declared? Is a renewal of their minds and hearts to what the scriptures call the ancient knowledge, the ancient strength, the ancient discretion. And the scriptures say the only way that is attained is beyond all the pluralities of the nations. But we live in a system now that sits back and says, sanction all these. There's a problem, my brothers and sisters. They would flatter the people to think themselves wise under a lesser conscience, denying the commandments of Yah, not discerning what the commandments of Yah are, because, hey, pastors say they keep them after a multitude of different ideals that, hey, no longer people understand even what purely is the commandments of Yah and what purely is the faith of Yeshua, which is why Messiah must come. Think about it, the righteous one. Titles, prophecies concerning the one called the Kurdi, the righteous one. Prophecy concerning the secret city. What indeed is the Abrahamic promise unto the will of one? What it is to sanctify and swear allegiance to the holy name. The coming of a holy kingdom on earth is not according to the standards of men, that can only be brought to bear through the destruction of allegiance to every diverse Gentile standard among the nations. All of these, my brothers and sisters, are the faith of Yeshua. Has everybody trusted in this? Has everybody discerned these things? You ever stop to consider, according to Scripture, my brothers and sisters, any institution that would call itself true to the Holy Name that neglects any of these Scriptures or any of this truth are counted blasphemous and insult against the will of Yah. I did not say to his praise, they have neglected the truth. All nations will be washed, the Scripture said, must be washed in the blood of the testimony of the Lamb, baptized in one holy name of every standard, every incongruous allegiance. He said those who believe and are baptized believe and know that they need to be washed of every other allegiance, that is sin in its neglect, in its partiality, shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be damned. How about remain? The word for be is also remain. Damned. Remain separated from the purposes of Yah. Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him might not perish. That means the world was already in a damnable state in its confusion, in its multitude of divisions. What about a system then, my brothers and sisters, that sanctions a multitude of divisions that the Most High didn't declare? If you think the Most High declared that we all have incontiguous thoughts and double-mindedness, that we all function under less than what the Most High calls wisdom? Is that what people call a blessing? Hey, some people say, okay, we're under grace because we sit back and we respect everybody's opinion. Where do these other opinions come from? Where all these different opinions come from that are not true to all the Most High declared? Are we supposed to respect devils? Is that what people call allegiance to a multi-party system? Think about it. Whoever retains tainted allegiance is not whole. You can't, pure and completion only offers one choice. Whoever retains a multitude of tainted allegiance is not whole under Yah, not perfectly true under Yah, incapable of being confirmed as steadfast into the mind of Yah, is counted double-minded, is still filled with iniquity, uncleanness, is definitely spoken and believed lies, and the Most High never said that such conscience would he preserve. Yah preserves nothing that is an obstacle, nothing that is an obstacle to his conscience and his people attaining it. Scripture says he comes as a savior and a defender. That means, my brothers and sisters, to teach a word that men might take upon themselves a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, and a sword of the Spirit to be able to defend themselves against the wiles of the devil. Do you think people gain that power, my brothers and sisters, after the flesh? What does it mean, my brothers and sisters, to be brought to redemption, to be brought to salvation? Revelation 7:2, the one called the angel from the rising sun. Okay, that's a, brothers and sisters, no question about it. That is Yeshua. He already has a seal, already has the name of the Most High. He has a testimony of the Most High. Scripture says those who believe in him might have power to become sons of Yah. Do people really believe they have the power to become sons of Yah without instruction from him? Or do they think they are part of the call of the sons of Yah according to somebody else's instruction? Come on, people. Let's see this thing for what it is. It is a defilement, an insult to the holy name. It's an insult to them against the Most High, my brothers and sisters, if anybody is compelled to respect or worship after the will of another. In fact, my brothers and sisters, for men to be taught to respect and revere a diverse multitude of conflicting ideas while they say they've been baptized in the name of Yeshua. It's even to swear upon a Bible, my brothers and sisters, as the constraints of a faulty foundation that in no way is counted firm as a constitution before Yah at all. There is no other foundation. There is no other constitution. But that which Yah has already laid. And whatever men were compelled to exalt, short of that, my brothers and sisters, well, quite frankly, what does it say in Matthew 7? What does it say in Isaiah 28? Many will find that day that they thought they had petitioned, preached, done wonderful works after the will of the Most High. They say in the name of Messiah. And the scripture says they'll be like kind of like foolish men who built their houses, the structures that men call safe havens, they call sanctuary, they call blessed. Built upon what was not a foundation at all. Because before the Most High, my brothers and sisters, before his reproof, caused the world to discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. When the overflowing turn of truth comes to test the making of a thing, the foundation of the thing, it shall not stand. Was it a constitution, my brothers and sisters, that men should trust? A system that sits back and says that it licenses everybody's differences just because they call it a religion? I think it's amazing that the people's delight thinking they gain victory by swearing themselves, giving themselves an oath, because that's literally what you do when you pull that voting lever under hypocritical misruling allegiances. You ever stop to consider that all these, my brothers and sisters, that they're not true of the will of the one Most High and all things he's declared, then it is sanctioning every man deceiving of his brother. Did you hear what I said? It's sanctioning every man's deceiving of his brother, because some are spiritually immature, my brothers and sisters, and won't seek to discern all things as they are intended to be. And some are not so considerate, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of so much mass hysteria, to discern that if you sanction sin, my brothers and sisters, it's because sin has possessed also your own soul. It's a blind and treacherous breaking, my brothers and sisters, of the everlasting covenant and a sanctioning of many damnations, whatever someone sanctions, a standard that is not true to all the Most High has declared that we must all believe and abide in when we respect or are taught to respect, whether it's Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Most High is one. That does not mean that anybody sanctions a lie that might deceive his brother. In fact, the scripture says any man who does this after any depletion or adding or taking away, if you will, of what is the law and the prophets, the scripture says he shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Why? Because he's counted unstable. He's counted as someone who avowed himself to Babylon rather than sought to exceed Babylon. And all such oaths, my brothers and sisters, are under darkness. Since Messiah comes to raise the conscience of men, to renew discretion, to overthrow Babylon, to renew the strength of his people under true knowledge of Yah, rather than all the diverse standards of the king that he said because they won't let go of these lies to the very last minute. It is certain that the masses have sworn themselves under foolish allegiance to unreasoning beasts when they uphold all these rulers that have consigned themselves to uphold so much deception, blindness, seduction, short-sightedness, greed, and treachery. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The wise know that for many generations, according to all that's written in the prophecies, if they understand these things well, the wise know, my brothers and sisters, that what this system has declared for so long has been so much all a lie. It's been deception, it's been blindness, it's been seduction, it's been short-sightedness, it's been greed, it's been treachery. My brothers and sisters, it's just been point blank, a damning lie. Those who are wise know that these systems have not been wholly true to the holy name. But my brothers and sisters, those who have not been compelled to seek beyond the status quo remain blind to these things. And they find it strange, whoever it is, they were discerned to know better. Like I said, the peoples are not saved, but deceived, damned, destroyed, and the mass allegiances for lack of knowledge. Therefore, since the fall, much exceeding wisdom has always been necessary, in spite of it all. Think about it. What does Most High call the fallen state? A fallen state? Would he call it misallegiances? Would he call it sin? Huh. If it were not deviation from his will. All these, my brothers and sisters, differences have caused so much lack of cooperation. It's not wisdom, my brothers and sisters, but it's a shame that supposed men of faith swear allegiance to what is avowed to continually defile the very name by which men should seek wholeness, completion, purity, i.e. salvation. And in upholding such corruptions, completely unstable, yet expecting to be confirmed as something other than insane, unsound, expecting to be called something other than double-minded, expecting to be called faithful. My brothers and sisters, the Most High is not mocked after the ways of any fool. And I think it's time, my brothers and sisters, we stop allowing society to trick us to think otherwise. The early church, my brothers and sisters, perceived no reason. There was no reason for the Most High to grant his anointing to anyone who would not be true to the Holy Name. Read the first verses of James 1 and 1 through 6 through 9. Understand, my brothers and sisters, what men have been compelled to swear themselves allegiance to. He said, if to the tribes of Israel, which are scattered among the Gentiles, you must seek wisdom, not to be kind of double-minded. But hey, many of you who call themselves believers today among the nations, hey, have counted wisdom is just go along to get along with the system. The ancient church, my brothers and sisters, like I said, called by an ancient ideal of a people called out from darkness into light, knew the gift of Yah, my brothers and sisters, the gift of his spirit, the gift of discretion, the gift of intelligence, the Vohmano temple, Mano principle of seeking after what is good thoughts and good deeds, that men may be able to function as good stewards, help after the purpose of the Most High. Ancient concept, my brothers and sisters, that preceded what people call New Testament church. Very ancient concept, my brothers and sisters, spintamanu. It's a concept, my brothers and sisters, that relates to receiving what from the Most High is a pure and perfect testimony that all might agree with him. But my brothers and sisters, so many among them who claim to know the Most High have forgotten these principles because a multitude of contradictions, my brothers and sisters, is not the work of one pure and holy spirit. Who, my brothers and sisters, is willing in all things to understand. It's been a massive illusion, my brothers and sisters, men have been taught to uphold. And not everyone has been willing to understand it. Like the scripture says, be not deceived, Yah is not mocked. From the flesh, man reaps only corruption. After confusions, diversities, seeming wise to the flesh, man does not reap life, but after a spirit of truth. In fact, after a pure and perfect truth without being that transcends contradiction, there's life. And man then must transcend, my brothers and sisters, every pretentious rule that has defied the law of the Most High. Think about it. So many of the churches feel like they don't need to be subject to divine law because they're under grace. As if the grace of Yah puts away divine law. That's like saying the Most High put aside his authority. As if the Most High lied in his promises that men might be delivered. My brothers and sisters, if you're not subject to divine law, simple stated, you're subject to the misrule of man. Like I said, the pagans didn't have a word to relate the difference between divine law and man's law unless they be discovered as treacherous. Some of that's also in those books, in those scriptures in Galatians between around 6:3 to 18. Talk about why they don't explain these things to the mention necessary. Let me tell you something. No dissimulant thing is true to the Holy Spirit of the prophets. Did you hear me? No hypocritical thing is true to the Holy Spirit, which the Most High gave the prophets, that they might all speak together as one. Nothing, my brothers and sisters, that does not seek in righteousness to complete all that is the will of the Father is worthy to be followed. He calls them false prophets. The end result of trusting in such, my brothers and sisters, is not life, but death. Politicians, have you ever seen a holy politician? Is there such a thing? I tell you right now, no, my brothers and sisters. Israel, when it asked for a king likened to the nations, found out the end result of petition for this when they already had a prophet, Samuel, as ruler. And they asked for a king, my brothers and sisters, that the end result was that the king catered to the people more than Yah. The Most High had to what? Dispense him from being king. That he, the people of Israel, so that they might be true unto Yah, and that they might be blessed, might be given a king after the heart of Yah. Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, a ruler that was sanctioned the diversities, a multitude of contradictions of man, is true to one spirit? What would the Most High do to such a king when he was ready to deliver his people? Read Isaiah 49 and understand. Like I said, either man comes to the exceeding righteousness of Yah by humility before the word of life is declared from the beginning, else he will be counted an adversary and complicit with adversaries. That's why the scripture says, come out of Babylon, O my people. That should be counted particulars of a sin, the smitten of a plague. Sounds like Babylon is an amalgam of a multitude of transgressions. So much so that it depraves the conscience of men to such a dimension that men begin to accept just a little bit of movement. They figure a little bit of movement up as sufficient unto salvation because they say it's a little bit better than the rest of the trash all around. But brothers and sisters, I can only tell you. The Most High is not mocked. No dissimulate, no short-sighted, no partialized, no polluted perception is true to the vision he has for mankind. If man can look at the travesties of divide-and-conquer tactics that surround us in this world today and say that subjection to that is what pleases, what appeases Yah, and you can say such as this have already had their heaven. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, that's the best they will ever have unless they're willing to, like the scripture says, look up, behold, and see the glory of Yah. All who swear allegiances under hypocritical rulerships. When I say hypocritical, I mean claiming to be godly. Hey, willing to swear on a stack of Bibles that they knew Yah, and would uphold. Do you swear upon the Bible, my brothers and sisters, to uphold somebody else's rule? You swear upon the Bible just simply to exalt yourself above all things? Think about it. Ancient pagan kings, they weren't true to any one God. They sat back and bartered themselves as brokers for how a deity would be worshipped, because they said they were favored ultimately by them all. What about a society that takes all the diverse standards of men and calls them gods, and seek out somebody who is sick to turn around and represent the what is considered the better or best, or men might consider the better or best, let's just say the lesser of two evils or two or more evils? Isn't that the same thing, my brothers and sisters, that the ancient pagan kings, when that because they never sanctioned the will of one God, just sit back and just basically sanction the will, as they said, of as many as they could, and then sit back and talk about that if men followed them, that would have utmost favor. Like Constantine said, whatever God be God, he will grant me favor because I grant him worship, his worship in my kingdom. What about somebody who's saying today, my brothers and sisters, that he will have favor from all the people to be elected, to be called a ruler, because he sanctions some of everybody's differences in a society that is worshipped as the will of men and not Yah? Shall such a system, my brothers and sisters, be blessed to be called a son of Yah? I see so many ways that I see contradictions in this. Apostle Shaul one time said, how is it there is not in every man this conscience? An oath and allegiance, my brothers and sisters, to a multitude of diversity, conflicting ideals, double-minded debates, and doubts is an oath unto a multitude of sins. Where there is pure knowledge, my brothers and sisters, and pure reverence and inspiration from the Most High, there is no debate. There is absolution. Has a two-party, a multi-party system that is sworn to preserve such, has it been unto absolution or continual confusion? Has it been unto truth, the worship of truth, or the continual worship of lies? Understand what a lie is, my brothers and sisters. It's a corruption against the perfect knowledge of the truth. Many say that what I'm envisioning, then, I talk about a kingdom that will speak no lies, do no iniquities. That it's rather idealistic. Nevertheless, what my brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is I perceive as the promise of the Most High. I repeat, I perceive as a promise of the Most High something extraordinary. But my brothers and sisters, as extraordinary as it is it something that would have been commonplace if man had only been true to what the Most High declared purely and completely from the beginning. Like I said, people talk about respecting a multitude of difference. The truth of the matter, all these differences would not have existed if man had just been true to the will of one. Which do you think is better, my brothers and sisters? I ask you. That man discern the will of the Most High and be true to it, or man be left subject to a multitude of debates and lack of inspiration and lack of guidance because he has to sit back and comply with those who are. You tell me, my brothers and sisters, which is a better place to be? I think it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, that men have been compelled in this society to forget the promise of a people. The promise of a people that truly unto the Most High will be blessed. When I say blessed, my brothers and sisters, no curses or divisions among them. What have men prayed for, my brothers and sisters, when they prayed for the preservation of divide and conquer tactics? Keep people weak in faith and not discerning, my brothers and sisters, how to repent beyond their sins. A man who doesn't know how to repent beyond his sin or has not gained discretion, my brothers and sisters, to discern his sin, that he might petition for a greater conscience than his own, is left to corruption, death, and destruction for lack of knowledge. Or do people really believe they enter the kingdom of Yah and indiscretion? Come on, people. I hope you hear me. An elect and holy people, according to the Most High, faithful people, will become wise to speak no lies. They become wise, my brothers and sisters, not to continue to perform after the uncleanness, the iniquity, the false gospel. That is not a word from on high that this world so easily touts. They will be strong enough in discretion, my brothers and sisters, that when they see what would misrepresent Yah, they know to remove it or remove themselves from it swiftly. And they will have none among them, as it is promised one day, to seduce them anymore. None among them, not anyone around them, my brothers and sisters, that will seduce them or could seduce them after any manner of division. This is what is promised, my brothers and sisters, that the Holy Covenant, a pure word, no more debate, no more doubt, no more confusion. That only a Holy Covenant, my brothers and sisters, may remain in their minds and hearts forever. It's time, my brothers and sisters, wake up and understand again and not forget the Shema. What's the scripture say concerning those who forget his holy mountain? Who forget the word of pure, perfect peace? Who say that they are so holy they don't need anyone's reproof. Look at Isaiah 65. Scripture says, because he called and you did not answer, he spoke, you did not listen, he said, he delivered you to the sword. What has done violence against the law, the Most High, my brothers and sisters, will reap violence. I did not say peace. Is it not time, my brothers and sisters, we understand and that we discern that the Most High has a plan for the redemption of mankind? And it's not according to the misconceits of man. By no means, my brothers and sisters, are we as a people of faith. Faith, we say, in the will of one, to be flattered, bribed, seduced in any way, after any stagnant thinking, become proud, so proud that we're easily robbed of what the Most High wants to help us to see, which is so much of a greater glory and subjection to the one Yah, rather than those who would hide the truth. Think about it. People have rejoiced being subject to those who hide the truth, pervert the truth, don't know the truth. That they sit back and feed upon the insolence of others, to sit back and say when they voted somebody into office, they have gained a victory because they were in the majority. My brothers and sisters, do you really believe that because a multitude of people not knowing what is the plan, having no faith in the plan, like I said, not knowing the plan, do you really believe the Most High changes what he knows to be true because of people's lack of knowledge? What's the scripture saying? True Jew is one who seeks praise from Yah, not from men. He petitions for what is the will of Yah. I didn't say the will of man. And if a whole world be a liar, they know that Yah will yet be true. That's faith. That's the deliverance and the conversion of the soul. How can anyone dare to say that swearing their hands upon a Bible, that because they choose to make the perception of a verse of Scripture obscure in their minds, I think they really know what it means. Because they choose to make a verse obscure in their minds, and they feel like they can just blind themselves to what is declared. And that because society is willing to be blind, that has made them wise. Like I said, if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the pit. If men sanction those who are hypocritical, and men are kind of hypocritical as well, wake up, my brothers and sisters. It's time to wake up beyond this Babylon. And waking up beyond Babylon is to seek a raising of consciousness, a raising of awareness, being considerate and seeking the Most High for what he declared as an absolute. He said, however, think about it, no need to even make a request for those who are maintain worldly confusion. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, if he says, I make no request for those who maintain worldly confusion, then worldly confusion is not salvation. Look around you, my brothers and sisters, and discern the sin that is in your midst. Discern the distractions that are in your midst. And realize that you must petition the Most High. If you're going to petition Him for salvation, petition for the sanctification of His name. Petition that men discern what His name is purely and in truth. Petition, my brothers and sisters, to understand. I sit back and think about those who might have looked upon the scene and we saw a few days ago and saw a sea of men, women and children, ready to sanction the licensing of much confusion. I can only tell you that it has been heard, these words. The adversary called himself gloating. It is the effort of the saints, my brothers and sisters, that men discern what is the holy name. Most High, in terms of what He means when He says, I am that I am, not that which I am not. The adversary, I'm telling you now, looks upon all these willingnesses to accept and exalt as if it were wise contradictions, and even seeks to mock the Most High and those who would seek to awaken people to the light, saying, such things as, hey, we who are wise seek to awaken the minds to the word of truth. But the adversary says, of them that you seek to speak to. How many truly know the name of Yah? Because the adversary says, look at him. As much as you try to teach him the name of the Most High, adversaries, look at him. And see how many of them do, however, know his name. If corruption is all they know, my brothers and sisters, what is it that they have worshipped? If they have no vision beyond corruption, who is it that they have worshipped? Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we pray for salvation? Messiah said, if you were His disciples, you would know the truth, and the truth would set you free. How is it, my brothers and sisters, so many lack that greater knowledge and conscience of the truth? It's time to pray for our people. Prime time that our prayers be melded with the ancients who knew that one day in the hearts of their children, brought back from bondage among the nations, must be restored to the conscience that they had of old. How do you get a new covenant out of that? It can only be a restoration of what was promised to the ancient saints. And my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, what men have called a dream today, according to collusion and so much confusion, the ancient saints know it is nothing else but a nightmare. But my brothers and sisters, it's a nightmare that ceases very soon, for a great day of light comes. Voice a little tired tonight, I must admit. But the Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters. And those who hear the spirit that is behind my voice, they are the ones who will discern its power. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edom Yah. I've covered Remembrance Ministries. I thank Most High for every ear that He brings near. And to His praise always, my brothers and sisters. The praise of Him who provides all that is necessary unto His peace. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. I thank the Most High for the ear He grants that you discern the secret things.